Let's start this show, Judith. It's very hot. Let's start it before it gets too hot. We're recording this and it's 9:30 in the morning. It's a bit early for me. It's a bit late for Judith. Judith's already been out. She's been swimming. She's no doubt had a three-course breakfast and walked the dog.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? You're spot on.
Yeah, you poor cow. What time did you get up this morning?
5:40.
Oh my god, Judith.
Yeah, I know. We're so different, aren't we? Well,
5:40. I did get up at 5:40 because I needed a wee, but I mean, you know, I didn't open my eyes.
Well, listen, I'd have gone back to sleep but no, actually, my body clock is obviously so different to yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'd be terrible roommates. Could you imagine?
We're never going to share a room, Judith. That would be.
I think we did once.
I'd kill you.
We did once.
Oh, yeah, we did once. And I put a bolster down the middle in case you got any ideas in the middle of the night.
I'm not sure whether it was you or me.
Are you not sleeping because of the heat? How are you coping with the heat? Should we talk about the bloody
summer
heat
house?
First?
No, we've now got quite a few young people around.
Oh,
they were all watching. Yeah, I know. No, it was fine. It's lovely. But I've had enough by 9:30. Do you know what I mean?
Are they all watching Love Island?
They were all watching Love Island.
I felt a bit jealous, actually, because I thought,
oh, well, my friend Jenny watches that.
I'd have loads to say to the young people about Jack's sort of peculiar behaviour this week and how his guilt-tripping Paige. Some people will know what I'm talking about. A lot of people are going, oh, for God's sake, grow the fuck up.
Including me.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm in with the young people.
Not very often. How's the chafing, by the way? Have you got much chafing going on?
No, because I'm wearing long-line pants. I'm in a
You've
pair of long-line pants at the moment.
You've got them, have you? And you've got them on, you clever old thing.
Yeah. I'm wearing a simple linen dress and a pair of long-line pants. And
that's not liking
bra.
You much today. You know what I mean? It's kind of, look at me, I've got my chafing thing.
I've just taken precautions, Judith. That's all I've done.
You haven't taken those sort of precautions. That's a phrase that sends us right into a cul-de-sac,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, yeah, there's absolutely no need for any precautions in that.
Do you remember when we used to have to do that?
Well, I was on the pill for quite a long time. I've had the coil once and that went wrong.
Me too. How did it go wrong for you?
Mine got infected. I got a pelvic inflammation or whatever.
Oh, yes.
My body tried to eject the coil like it went into a kind of labour, talking of which Phoebe hasn't had the baby yet. In case anybody does feel a bit sorry for people who are tuning in thinking, I wonder if that brat's been born yet. No, is the answer.
Yeah,
but I did have a heart flick this morning, Judith. Can I just tell you this?
God.
As I was preparing my breakfast, my 9 a.m. breakfast, sensible time, a boiled egg on a slice of brown toast, wholemeal toast, spread with low-fat cream cheese and Marmite.
I can picture it.
Yum. I suddenly thought, oh, there's a flash of blue out of my kitchen window. What's that flash of blue? I knew it wasn't a kingfisher. And it was Tristram's car. And I thought, fuck.
I thought you meant a blue light as in emergency.
No, just a flash of blue. It was just a blue car.
Tristram's car. What was
Tristram's
going through
car.
Your head? All
I
the
thought,
scenarios.
Fuck me. All the swearing was coming in one go. Jesus, fuck, shit, wank, cunt. fucking hell, what's going on? And then I saw Phoebe get out and she was walking normally. And I thought, well, what's going on here? They've got an appointment at King's Maternity to talk about induction, because she's due tomorrow and there's absolutely no sign of going into labour.
No, okay, but that's kind of sort of normal. How long
they're
do they
getting
give
very
her, actually?
Funny about it at King's. They're sort of they're talking about sweeps and hopefully
what do you mean
she'll
sweeps?
Come.
Hold on, what do you mean sweeps?
Well, I know what I think. Someone puts their hand up you and gives it a bit of a rummage around and tries to get things going.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The sweeps have been around forever, Judith. They were even around in our day.
Well,
I mean, I never had one. I know that sometimes they can be quite painful. So they're talking about a sweep next Wednesday and a sweep anyway. Maybe she doesn't want me to give all this detail, but the fact is they're having a chat now with a doctor about induction next week.
So they don't leave you perhaps as long as
Kings they
to.
Don't. Phoebe said that Kings they don't like, you know, they'll give it a week and a bit. Yeah. Apparently the latest they'll leave it is the 27th.
Right.
Which is actually my father's birthday.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, Jenny, that's making me a bit.
Well, as long as they don't call him Derek.
Well, do you know, I mean, it would be very, very stylish. You know what
would,
I mean?
It wouldn't. Derek has never... I'm really sorry to all the Derek's out there listening. I'm really sorry. You got lumbered with quite a shit name. Blame your parents. I don't think there are any young and groovy Derek's around. That said, I think it could... Yeah, maybe it's time for a reinvention of the Derek's. If you're a cool Derek...
We want a photo and we can be the judge of whether they're cool
or not. Whether Derek is cool or not. But can you imagine if there are any cool Derek's listening to this?
You never know.
Anyway, so, she's very, very concerned about having this baby in, the heat wave.
Yeah, I bet she, well, it's not easy. But, funnily enough, because we were talking about this, weren't we, sort of not on the podcast, you being Daisy occasionally, on the text. We have a little joint text, don't we? And Daisy, funnily enough, said that she gave birth, I think, to both of her boys
in heat waves.
Exactly this time of year. And I was due on the 15th of July, which I think is the same day that Phoebe was born. I gave birth to Sienna on the 26th of July in a heat wave.
Did you go into labour naturally, Judith, or were
you
due?
Yes, I did. Well, I did. So the waters broke in the middle of the night and then nothing happened for ages. So they did induce me. But that was with a kind of, pessary, I think.
I think it is still pestery and then sort of, I don't know. I just think it doesn't matter. As long as the baby gets out safely and Phoebe's okay, who cares?
Absolutely. And sort of the sooner the better really now because the baby's going to get bigger and, And you kind of reach that stage, don't you?
Her hips can't get any wider. They're just not very wide. So, if the baby gets much bigger, I can't. Anyway,
well, if she has to have an emergency...
She's been very brave, I have to say. Blow my own daughter's trumpet.
She
was round yesterday afternoon. Can't remember. She was having some acupuncture.
Maybe to get it going a bit.
And also, it just relaxes her. We believe in our acupuncturist, and she's such a wonderful woman. And she came round. I put her feet in a pan of cold water. I gave birth in when it was really cold. It was February, and I remember afterwards, I just went into this cold and shock. Like when you're shocked and you need to be cuddled up in the warm, and you need to sit by the fire. And I was
On a bus or something, did you? I mean, was this in a hospital?
It was in a hospital, but it was, I think it was more shock than cold, a cold February night, and my teeth were chattering. I remember that.
It's a big thing. Well, obviously, it's the biggest thing that ever happens to our bodies, I suppose, in a way, doesn't it? I mean, it's a big thing.
It's mental. It's madness. It really is. And then, my interfering levels peaked a bit this week. I mean, we're getting on to you in the wedding soon, so you'll be able to out-trump me on interfering, Judith.
Because it's quite a competition between the two of us, isn't it?
It's on my mind all the time.
Go on, what did you...
I admitted to Phoebe what my two favourite baby names are, and I'm not going to say what they are, but I was really just convinced that they were both on the list, on the short list.
Have you told her before? I mean, is this...
a thing that is not discussed, the names. So I just admitted what they were, and she said, neither of those, they're not on the list. And I was so disappointed, Judith. I was absolutely gutted. I had to go and lie down for a little while. I was overwhelmed with the fact that my feelings weren't taken into consideration when it came
to
baby
names. It's perfectly normal. I think it's completely normal that whatever our favourite names are not going to be their favourite names. They couldn't be. How could they be? Because you'd be sort of forever thinking, well, I'm the favourite grandma. Look at me, I'm the favourite grandparent. Then I must be.
Obviously.
We wish her all the luck, honestly.
Around the other day. Oh, God, Judith. I mean, I know that you've got a lot on your plate, but I don't know whether you've ever had to try and fix an air conditioning unit.
But you've got...
Because their top bedroom where they sleep is very warm, so...
Yeah, is it?
She got this... air conditioning unit off the internet, but because it's not a really state-of-the-art expensive one, it's kind of some weird Heath Robinson fucking thing, where it's a unit and then it has a pipe that goes out of the window, but because the pipe has to be sealed in and all the windows shut, the window has to be opened a bit, and then you have to Velcro this like tent structure around the window. so that no air gets in and it's all...
Well, how do you Velcro something round a window? So Velcro it to what? I mean, what do you stick the Velcro to?
You stick the Velcro to the window surround because the Velcro comes on a sticky back. Oh. It comes on a roll.
Glue? This all involves
glue? No, there's no glue. The glue's on the roll, on the... I've forgotten what the name... What did I say it was? Velcro. Shit, yeah, it was very confusing.
I'm already thinking it's flapped open, Jenny. Is it still... Blimey.
Well, I don't know. I haven't dared ask. It's just one of those things that must never be spoken of ever again, really. But there we go. She's basically going around with a cold, damp tea towel around her neck.
Is she? Good idea.
I think is more or less as good as this air conditioning unit. But anyway,
is she allowed to take a fan into the labour ward?
Yes. Yes, she's taking a handheld and a small table light.
That is good, actually. I think she should
take the bigger one personally and just not have any nonsense. But you know, I can't understand why the hospital hasn't got fans.
Well, no, nor me. Nor
do you know
me.
What I mean?
That is bad, actually, isn't it? At least you're allowed to take them in. Because I had a horrible feeling that they might, you know, for health and safety, crap, all that. So that is good. But this could be your ticket, couldn't it? Because I see you, I visualise you in the corner of the labour ward with a, you know, doing that thing with an ostrich feather. You know what I mean? You could, I think there's a route in there.
I'm a fanning doula.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I am. Like, what are you doing here? I'm the fanning doula. Anyway,
like a standard
there we go.
Lab with a wafting process.
Now, I want to know where you are on your list of things to do before the wedding, which is, of course, on Sunday.
On Sunday, yes. Well, it's Thursday today. So we've had a schedule, which I put on the notice board. It's so funny that people will... Because I thought, well, you know, I won't put it all, obviously. There's only a limited amount of interest in the schedule of our wedding. So I put the bridal day. Two things. We've got so many messages of people who obviously read it, you know. And some woman, some really clever lady put... look, might be an idea for the, because it's like, you know, this happened, the bride's dress goes on and the bridesmaids check this, blah, blah, blah. And she said it might be an idea for the bridesmaids to put their dresses on before they leave the house because it wasn't on.
It wasn't itemised, Judith. The bridesmaids have their makeup done, but you didn't say bridesmaids put dresses on. I know there are photos in the garden before you all set off for the venue.
Yeah. So, thank you for that, because obviously otherwise we'd be going off in our underwear. God,
which is a sight I would really like to see, actually. Especially in this weather. I don't know why they're not all just wearing their bikinis with a veil on.
Yeah, white bikinis and a veil. I mean, how good would that be? So I've got a comfy dress, a great hat, and a pair of shoes that are relatively uncomfortable, but not impossible.
They're not killers. Are you going to take a pair of Birkenstocks with you?
I am going to take a pair of trainers. Yes, I think that is so. Because, you know, the wedding shoe thing, it could ruin your day. Let's face
it. Absolutely. There's no point. There's no point. No, I mean, you're just going to end up off your face on painkillers. And then it's really hot. You drink too much. And the next thing you know, you're face down in the flower bed. You don't want that.
Oh, no, you don't. Because you do see it, don't you? I mean, I often see people walking to a wedding and you can see the wedding shoes. They've never really worn them properly. And people are just, you know, they can barely walk properly.
And then if you've got grass and you've got a spike
gravel,
it just goes
gravel
into the...
as well.
Well, no,
yeah.
When you're going across grass, it just you see those girls at Ascot and the heels are just going into the grass. And they're staggering. And it just looks so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, good. You've got your underwear sorted out for the frock and everything.
I've got the new bra with lots of elastic in it. Yes, so I'm all right. I've got the handbag sorted out. I've got my speech written. So that's going to be...
Oh, you do a speech?
Yes, I'm allowed 5 minutes. We're all allowed 5 minutes. I dare say that we'll overrun a little bit. But yes, Ellen's making a speech. And I think there are about 6 of us. I love speeches at a wedding, don't you?
You love a speech, you see. I mean, it depends on the quality of the speech. But you are a family that likes to make speeches.
Yeah, we do.
I think you're all vying. There's going to be a little bit of a sort of... I mean, I think you might need a compere, actually.
We had one of those at our wedding, Mike and I. We had a friend did a sort of MC. Yeah. Right, now we go over to so-and-so to speech, and this is their relationship with... Yeah, we did that. We went over the top with the speeches, but anyway, so at the moment, the schedule... It was a bad moment on Tuesday night when I was completely bloody overwhelmed. We'd had a Zoom with the woman who's organising the day. And, you know, my list was
I thought
long.
You were organising the day. The way you've been banging on about this wedding, Judith. What do you mean? You've got someone helping you?
Oh, we got some because we're doing a lot of, most of the catering. So brilliant wedding organizer. She's, you know, she's young. She's kind of quite cool, and she knows the venue really well. And she was very reassuring. However, at the end of that Zoom, I had a great, you know, I had one of those lists where, you know, it's all a mess, and lots of it was circled and crossed out, and involved checking the Tesco thing, and then I had to email this person, and then we've had a cake crisis. There'd been all sorts of undercurrents of problems. And I did. Oh, I just couldn't get to sleep. So I was very, very overwhelmed on Tuesday night. But now I'm on top of things. On top of things. And
so, where is the food? Where do you prepare the food?
Well, we've got an extra fridge in the garage, which is left over from Ellen's move. We had a power cut this morning. Horrible feeling that fucking the garage hell. Is going to flip. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So yesterday we had to, on the schedule yesterday was the big food shop, right? Okay, for all the sharing platters at the beginning.
Yeah.
So they'd done trial runs. They knew exactly where, you know, where to buy everything. And it was me and Ellen. It was a Waitrose, Lidl and Sainsbury's run with possibility of Iceland breakouts and possibility of other Waitrose or other Sainsbury's breakouts. You know what I mean? So it was okay. All this. Because we needed like 22 of this and 22 of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It must be. And when you're approaching the shelves or whatever, whether it's a certain cheese or a ham packet or whatever, and you're sort of mentally counting them, try and count how many there are on the shelf, thinking, Jesus, fuck. Oh, God in heaven. Oh, we're three down. Okay, well, that means we have to go to the other Waitrose 7 miles away. Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, there was actually a ridiculous thing in Sainsbury's because we had to get 22 boxes of figs, right? Ooh. And so...
What's the fig for?
For the sherry platter. Sherry platter.
Oh, I see. Right. Fresh figs. I was just thinking dry figs. Right. So how many figs are you after?
22. Well, 22 packets. You know, there's cartons, right? So okay. We get to Sainsbury's, all right? We get to Sainsbury's. We've got loads of stuff.
God, my heart's hammering at this.
We sort of divided up, so she was going to start there, and I was a while finding a trolley and everything. Anyway, she was ahead of me. She's about 5 minutes ahead of me, so I get to the place where the figs are. I thought, straight to the figs. I'll go straight to those figs because you know what? I know those are going to be difficult. One carton left in the big thing, right? So I get the bloke immediately and say, oh, there's nothing. You've got I'll go and check. All right, so he goes and checks. No, none at all. Have you got a delivery tomorrow? He starts all checking this, you know. Well, I can't guarantee it for 2 days. Have you tried Killington? No. He said, it's funny because we've already just put them out and they've all gone. So, you can imagine what's happened.
I see what's happened.
I find Ellen and say, there's no figs, there's no figs. She says, I know, I've just got them all.
So she had trolleyed up before me
and thought, well, I can see the figs, I'm getting them.
Clever girl. Lousy, and she's leggy, you see. She probably did a run.
We were both breaking into a run, I tell you.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a brie with truffle problem in that we literally got, we've got 17 and we need 22. So now we've got to go.
I think it's family hold back on that. I think it's just, you know, give the guests the brie. And the family just maybe some craft slices.
On the other hand, they don't know about the, you know, it's not itemised. So it could be the other way around. Au contraire, it could be family get, you know, and the other ones don't.
First come, first serve.
Well, exactly.
And there might be a few people, given the choice, would rather have craft slices.
Well, nothing, or a triangle. I'm quite partial
nothing
myself.
Nothing wrong with a dairy Lee. A dairy,
exactly.
A little children's platter of a craft slice, a baby bell, and a triangle.
And a triangle. And do you remember those things that we used to have, maybe for packed lunches, and it used to be a sort of a section of Kraft Dairy Lee triangle-y thing, processed, heavily processed cheese, a little tiny little dip, like breadsticks that used to put in. Do you have those?
I think they weren't in our generation. I think they were our children's.
Oh, well, maybe I just used to.
I think they
them.
Were sort of what our kids had in their packed lunches, because I don't think we had those. There was nothing quite so sophisticated or glamorous.
We'd never seen a breadstick, had we? Let's face it.
I think breadsticks, yes, but not mini ones that are designed for children's. I mean, children really weren't on the agenda as we were growing up. There wasn't this sort of complete hysteria about sort of everything being directed at children, and children must have choice, and children must be entertained, and children must have, you know, special kiddie treats. There wasn't quite as much of that, I don't think.
No, there wasn't. No, you just got what you were given, really.
It was often just a wedge of some old, you know, my mum was forever cutting bits of mould off cheese, forever, and slinging it back in the cheese Tupperware, which she never washed out. Honestly, my mother had some really quite grotty habits in the kitchen. That's where I get them from, really.
I'm sure we do too. So there's a big fridge freezer left over from Ellen's move, which has got, you know, 17 packets of all this and, you know, all the cheese and all the parma.
When are you going to assemble all this? Are you assembling on Saturday night in the venue?
So we've got colour coded and labelled bags, and as I'm describing it, I know it's all fucking going to go wrong, isn't it? For various things in priority of fridge order that are all going to arrive. So there's a fleet of cars going to the venue with all this stuff, some of it in cool boxes and all
that. Is that going the night before, Judith?
No, it's all got to go in the morning because there's another wedding in the venue the night before. They all get kicked out at 10 o'clock.
I'll tell you what, why don't you just have their leftovers? just say to Faye or Fern, just say, listen... This is just getting a bit too much. It's quite hot. Nobody needs to eat that much.
I'd just like to
leave the leftovers and we'll finish it all off.
It's a very wholesome idea, isn't it, really?
It's economically sound, and it's, saving the planet.
Good for the planet, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, I wonder what they're having. Are you a bit intrigued about what they're having and what their wedding's going to
look
like?
Well, it will be a bit, because I think if we get there and you sort of see the scrag ends of them, it'll be annoying. Because I know with the church, in the church, we've had to pay £200 to get just one arrangement by the kind of altar and a few other bits and pieces, because the bride the night before is covering the day before, covering the church in flowers. You know, she's got a team of florists. Would she leave one arrangement? No, she bloody would not. Not one. She's taking them all with her. Cow.
What's she going to do with them in this heat?
Exactly. She's going to take some of them, I'm sure, to her venue. But, I mean, no, it's ridiculous. And
did you want more flowers then? Did you want... why do you have to pay the church to put flowers in their church?
Because normally the deal is that they leave it for the Sunday service. That's the deal with brides that have a wedding on a Saturday, is that they leave whatever thing so that it's there for the Sunday service. And because Ellen's on the Sunday, we all assumed, and the vicar assumed, that we'd have the previous wedding's bloody thing. Oh no, she's taking the whole lot.
You might not even have liked them, Judith.
We would have done. We would have saved £200. Okay, so the big cooking day is Saturday. That's when I make the salmon mousse and I make the three bean salad for 90 and a Caesar salad for
90. Just make sure that there's no cats or foxes around that can flick the switch on the fridge in the garage. And spoil all the food, because you don't want a fish mousse that's not being refrigerated on one of the hottest weekends of the year. And what is the role of the twins at the wedding?
We need to know.
There are people that want to know. They want Poppy and the twins. What are their roles?
Poppy's going away for the weekend. I've got to pack her bag, actually,
today.
Oh,
no.
Well, yes, she had. Oh, I couldn't deal with Poppy as well. It's too much. Too much. So she's going away.
She'll never forgive you. She'll never, ever. God, you're going to have to work hard with that dog when she comes back from that holiday. Because she's going to look at all the photos. There are going to be photos in silver frames on the windowsill. She's going to know, and she's not going to be in them. She's going to be absolutely fucking livid because the twins are probably going to appear. Or are the twins not invited?
No, the twins aren't invited to the ceremony, and they're invited to the reception a little bit later on, I think after the speeches or something, and then it'll be, you know, they'll be all over everything. She's got them two little outfits from Juju Maman Bibi.
Yeah.
And she's employed somebody actually for the day. And her in-laws are coming. So, you know, sort of between us and everything. But I think we've got to be careful that they don't sort of displace...
Stars of the show kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very busy day, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually now starting to look forward to it.
Good. Yeah. Right. So, Judith, have you had a meal of the week?
I tell you what I had. We've grown some kale for the first time in the garden, which has been quite a success. Had a huge dollop of that. And one of our cabbages with some butter and pepper.
Sounds quite hot. This sounds like a hot meal.
Well, it's a school dinner, actually, wasn't it?
Did you have gravy?
Of course we had gravy. Gravy with some of my homemade, it's very homemade food sensation this week, homemade apple sauce. No, not apple sauce. What do you call it? Apple jelly.
Oh.
Did it last year? No, not quite. Ordinary apple, and it's a great recipe from my friend Liz down the road. And basically, you don't have to peel the bloody things or core them. You just kind of boil them up with whatever it is, sugar and stuff, and you get this jelly, and it's fantastic for cold meat. Fantastic. Oh. Do you know what? I might bring you, because I think I might be seeing you next week.
Well, I'm hoping so. We've got a date in our diary, but we'll see what Pigsby does. Because that's what my nickname for him is. It's Pigsby.
you better change that, Jenny.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so what did you serve with your apple jelly?
Huge pork chops.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, not those little silly little ones that you get from some supermarkets. Butchers.
The ones that hang off the side of your plate.
Oh, dominates. Enormous. Yeah. Very, very greedy. And that's probably why I liked it. That was my food sensation.
Okay. Well, I haven't cooked a single meal. I haven't cooked a single meal this week. Not one.
I've had a picnic. You said that last week.
Weeks have gone by without. I think I cooked a curry last week. But we've lived on mostly quiche and coleslaw. And then with either chips or potato salad. I have not eaten anything prepared by my own fair hand. Tell you what, so I haven't got a meal sensation of the week. But what I have is a bargain of the week.
Oh.
And this is just a handy hint for the swimming community. I mean, you'll already know this, Judith, but if anyone hasn't got prescription goggles because they think they cost a fortune, well, they don't. You can get them off the internet for 20 quid. I think that's my bargain of the week.
That's amazing. So you rang up the opticians and got your prescription?
No. I know what my prescription is, Judith. Know. Anyone as short-sighted as me knows what her prescription is. I know up to the sort of near, you've got to round it up or round it down. You know, they don't do it. You know, you get them off the internet. They don't do sort of 0.2577.92 or anything like that. That'd be ridiculous.
But as close as.
And of course, my left eye is much worse than my right eye. So I'm minus 5.5. In the left eye, minus 2.5.
And they can do that?
They arrive in sort of bits and you have to clip them together. That's what you have to be... Well, you need Jeff for that, obviously. But
what's it called? Where do you go to get these? Can't remember.
Can't remember. You have to look them up. Just do your own homework. I'm not doing everything for everybody. I'm not your mum. Okay, so are we on... Time for, I think we are, I guess, we're Culture Corner, So, I've had one social, I know it's not quite Culture Corner, but I had lunch with my sister and my cousin last Saturday. Oh, I think cousins are good, aren't they? They're like referees.
Well, they are if you've got siblings, I suppose. So I suppose for cousins, for me, it's not quite the same role, is it? But yes, no, I think cousins are great.
Yeah, you see, my cousin Elizabeth is a recent retired primary headmistress. So she won't take any shit from either Sarah or I.
I bet she won't.
She basically just gives us a look. She's, you know, we had this lunch and Sarah would say something ridiculous and Elizabeth would shoot her a look and Sarah would stop talking nonsense. And then I'd say something ridiculous and Elizabeth would give me a look as if to say, that's enough, Jenny, stop it now.
Is she older than you two?
No, she's bang slap in the middle.
How interesting.
Younger than Sarah, older than me. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's nice. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And how is Sarah, by the way?
She is struggling with her back. She has been to see somebody and she has been offered potential surgery. She's very, very reluctant. She's quite stubborn. It's very difficult because I find it very difficult to see her in such discomfort.
Oh, I bet you do. I really do.
Oh, I really and I'll be. So I'm going for a swim this afternoon. I've got the old codgers over 60s this afternoon. 75p, 75p if you're a local.
That's a bargain.
Isn't it? Yeah. Blimey. And it's marvellous. I told you about last week when there was this old Asian guy, right? And he obviously hated cold water. It was cold last week. And he took 10 minutes to get in. I mean, really, it was painful to watch. And when he eventually got in, the whole pool went, yeah!
That's hilarious.
So it's very sweet. It's very sort of community. I mean, it's filthy, obviously. It's Camberwell local swimming pool, but, you know, just don't look. Well, now I've got my prescription goggles.
You're not going to be diving for coins, are you? So,
well, I've got my prescription goggles now, Judith. Oh, I can skim along the bottom.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I'll see everything.
I wouldn't. I don't know what to find down there. God, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I know. I can gather up all the plasters.
Anyway. Absolutely.
All the elastoplast. Culture Corner, right.
Oh, I've done nothing. We've been so terrified about getting COVID this week because Mike's not had it that, honestly, I'm desperate to see Elvis, and I'm quite like to see the Emma Thompson film, both of which you've seen and raved about, particularly Elvis. So I'm definitely going to do that next week. So no, we haven't really done anything much, to be honest. No, hardly anything.
Well, you're very, very busy indeed. I have not managed the cinema this week. All I have watched, really, Judith, and I'm quite obsessed by... because there's bugger all else on the telly, is Love Island.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of male mental health issues on display, I can tell you that. Uh-huh. Jeff and I are both hooked.
Oh, Jeff's hooked as well. Is it normally?
I don't watch it by myself, Judith. It's him. And at 9 o'clock, I say, Jeff, it's Love Island. He said, yes, I'm ready, Jenny. And then we watch Love Island together.
What's the appeal of it, actually? I mean,
relationships, isn't it? It's relationships. Okay. It's, you know, it's people sort of in it's. It's.
Have they just met, though? I mean, they're not actual relationships. Presumably, they have just sort of met each other and they don't fancy each other.
It is all so fast-tracked because they have got nothing else to do. They don't have books, they don't have telly, they don't have any other distraction. Or they sort of seem to prepare little meals now and again and juices, you know, smoothies and things like that. But most of it is sitting around the pool deciding who they fancy.
And do they sleep with each other?
Yes. They don't shag. Yeah. You don't see shagging.
No, but you
see sometimes some fumblings under duvets and that sort of thing. And then there's a terrible hideaway where people can go and have nookie now and again. Yes, yes. Which is, you know, it's appalling, really. I mean, it's just voyeurism. It's incredible voyeurism.
Because you're quite interested in it now.
As nosy as I am, there are. I think that you need to sort of watch it for about 3 nights to get the measure of who's who. Yeah.
Okay.
You've got to put the work in, Judith. It's not, you can't just sort of swing by. Let's talk about art. What have you seen art-wise?
Well, I went to the Athol Manor sculpture exhibition, which in Burford. Gorgeous Mitford House. The Mitford family country seat, which is no longer owned by, as far as I know, any of the Mitfords, but somebody else has bought it. And the tradition was always that they had this sculpture exhibition in the gorgeous grounds. Oh my God, Jenny, the house. I mean, it was the most beautiful.
Yeah, what about the art, Judith?
Come on to that. I was mainly going, to be honest, to have a bit of a poke around the Mitford house because it's, you know, so rarely open to the public. And I mean, not that you could go around and have a look, you know, open their kitchen drawers, but.
Did you get indoors? Did you get in the house?
In the ballroom, that's all, and in the office. But. I got my jealousy under control in that. I mean, exquisite, you know, in the bottom of this gorgeous valley with its own sort of bend of the river and, you know, its own little chapel, Cotswold stone, latticed windows, just phenomenal. I got my jealousy under control mostly until I saw the natural pool with a pool house at the end of it and lily pads that you would swim past.
Yeah, but that wasn't big enough. Because you put that on the notice board.
Oh, it was. It was beautiful.
It was big enough for one.
Beautiful. Well, okay, but you know,
if you're only thinking about yourself,
you're not going to invite any friends around, are you? Much, I suppose.
But can you swim through lily pads?
Oh, there was a little channel. I mean, there was a channel, and there was fresh water supplying it at one end. Had a good old look, and I loved the pool house as well. I think there might have been a drop loo, and it was all very. You know, Farrow and Ball, obviously.
Yeah.
But
it's Farrow and Ball, but with a drop loo? You mean a long drop? You sort of poo over a hole?
No, it was into sawdust, I think. Well, I didn't poke around, Jenny, but it had that kind of,
natural.
Martha's Vineyard, a sort of Martha's Vineyard kind of feel, but more rustic. Okay. But yes, there was a channel that you would swim up and down through with kind of lily pads at your ears. Oh, just magical.
Yeah.
And then one of the sculptures was like a whale tail, you know, had sort of flipped up. that they'd got in the side of the pool. Contemporary art, contemporary sculptures, all for sale from 8,000 to 100,000.
Quite difficult, quite difficult.
What do you mean?
Well, I find sort of contemporary sculpture, unless it's really, really brilliant, quite difficult.
Yeah, it was a bit patchy. Some of it was, so there was some very sort of two-dimensional kind of cloudy things that were a bit Rosie and Jim for me, if you like. But what there was, I have no idea who'd done them because, you know, I didn't cross-reference the catalogue. But they had a whole section, presumably one artist that did origami with kind of stone and marble. So he did an owl where the shape of it was as if it was made with origami, the kind of folds, just incredibly clever. And then there was another section where it was kind of rough stone, but you could touch it. I mean, that's the lovely thing, isn't it? Is that if you're allowed to touch these things, the smoothness of it, like a water otter in sort of rough, rustic stone, but then the water otter itself is smooth. So that was
I'm not sure I'm convinced by owls, not as in sculpture.
You're a hard woman.
Jeff's bumhole would tighten at that, I think. Anyway, Judith, you went to see the sculpture at the place in Burford, and I went to the Royal Academy summer show, and I was very excited by the prospect.
Absolutely.
And I mostly didn't like it.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. I was so disappointed by myself. I sort of went in with these all big expectations and I just sort of felt the smile die on my lips.
Oh, no.
I know. And I'd had a very pleasant hour beforehand. We'd come out at Green Park and, God, there's a Marks and Spencer's just, you know, bang slap on the corner by the tube station. And we went in there and we got our lunch and we went to Green Park.
And you crossed over the road.
Got ourselves a deck chair each under a big tree.
Oh.
Marvellous. I was in a good mood, Judith. There was nothing. Do you know what? I was in a good mood. There wasn't quite enough painting for me. I just wanted some sort of good quality painting. There wasn't as much as I would have liked. So I was being a bit peevish in the cafe afterwards. I was moaning about how disappointed I was to this woman. We got chatting. I didn't think it was all that. And I said, "What did you think?" And she said, "Well, I've got a painting on show." And I said, "Well, a painting is what I wanted to see more of, and I bet yours is marvellous, and I think it's the one I was going to buy." And I was just talking absolute shit. And she had two really beautiful teenage daughters with her, was sort of looking at me as if to say, "Yeah, right, whatever."
I bet.
But there we go. Can you imagine, though, having something in the Royal Academy? Oh, I think that was probably what it was, Judith. You know me, it's my scales of jealousy. They just sort of cloud my judgment. So where would you want? We've done art, Judith. Where are you going next?
Yes. Well, radio. There was a big piece in the Sunday Times about the centenary of the Wasteland. You know, T.S. Eliot's Wasteland. And this is, I mean, I'm suddenly sounding quite, sort of...
Hark at you.
It's only because I did it at A-level. Even though I did English at university, and I did rather well at English at university, it is, as people always say, your A-level text that you know back to front. And I can still remember the book and all the kind of arrows and underlinings and blah, blah, blah. But it is obviously a very erudite poem with masses of reference to the classics and Ezra Pound and all sorts of things. But anyway, it's 100 years since it was written. And Caroline Raphael, who I think you know, the radio producer, decided to do a sort of almost kind of make it into a radio play, really, with different voices for lots of the sections. And so it's like this kind of radio mosaic of performance with beautiful soundtracks, sometimes obvious soundtracks to what the text is, and sometimes things which are kind of a disconnect, but somehow work with it. And then there was a sort of preamble before, which was kind of, okay, everybody, you know, this is all quite erudite, and this is why it's important, and lots of kind of background about the poem, much of which I skipped through, to be perfectly honest. But I did think that the performance itself was remarkable, and it sort of reminded me of sometimes how if I walk over London Bridge, it's the only and I see lots of people walking either to work or away from work, you know, rush hour either way. So I often think of that, you know, over the years, it's one of those phrases from a poem that come back to me, because you see all these commuters, and his phrase, which is I had not thought death had undone so many. I mean, very gloomy, very...
Yes, and what is it? Is it referring back to a war? Is it? What's it? What is that line?
I think it's saying the, you know, the vacant looks in people's faces when you do the same journey every single day, morning and night, and it's that sort of, I don't know.
Well, then he should change that line to, I had not thought the commute had undone so many.
Well, I don't think he needed to be quite so literal as that, Jenny.
I think Caroline Raphael has been a great radio producer for many, many years, and she's one of the people in the industry who definitely gave me a chance. She's one of the good guys. I don't know the poem myself. We did Bleak House, A Handful of Dust, and a Shakespeare that might have been The Tempest, but may not have been, don't know. And
they later ones. They merge, so, we're honest.
Well, I had a bit of... when I was 17, I had a sort of few months of what they thought might have been glandular fever, but actually it was just boredom and I couldn't bear to go to school anymore. And I just missed about 3 months of school and I just kind of lay about the house.
How did you get away with that?
I don't know, because I was obviously sort of psychologically quite unwell, and I think they knew that there was something kind of wrong with me, but nobody knew what was wrong, and I just wouldn't do anything. It's very odd. I got very left behind in my English A-level. Sometimes I still sort of have slight nightmares about it, about, you know, the fact that I just hadn't really read Bleak House when I went into the exam, all that.
Oh, God,
anyway, there's books-wise, I have finished, and I loved, I'm going to say I absolutely adored, and so did Jeff, the Whalebone Theatre Company. I absolutely loved it. I had a few quibbles at the beginning, but I really do recommend that for a summer, big, fat summer saga read. I'm on a bit of a go slow with Bonnie Garmus's Lessons in Chemistry. I don't know why, I can only handle small dollops. And I have started Cressida Connolly's Bad Relations. Now, I'm a huge fan of her previous book, which is After the Party, a book I thoroughly recommend to you if you haven't read it. Which is a sort of slightly Mitford-esque fictional look at a posh woman who had a very simplistic Nazi sympathies during the Second World War and ended up in a prisoner of war camp on the Isle of Wight. Just brilliant. And this has got a great deal of promise. It's a bit of a tricky start, though, because it starts with the Crimean War, and it takes the 1970s Boho Cornwall. I'm looking forward to that bit, and right up to the present day. I think it's another big family saga of bad behaviour and consequences, Judith. My
nicely
kind of
put.
Thing.
Very yes. nicely put.
Yes.
Well, I've started reading, and I'm enjoying very much the thing that you recommended last week, which is A Reluctant Carer, which is anonymous. About a guy who is the sibling that is, well, as he puts it, he's in the foothills of divorce, and his career is going absolutely nowhere, and obviously his siblings are doing rather better in life. So he's the one that, you know, cops it for looking after his two aging their two aging parents. He moves up north. It's funny and so brilliantly written, and
the detail of it is extraordinary, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, what happens when the doorbell rings every time? This sort of ridiculous nonsense and all the stuff that his father keeps stabbing his iPad with.
Just order stuff off Amazon.
All the bloody time.
At the point I'm at, because I dip in and out of that, because I think it's one of those great books to have in the bathroom. So, you know, just do it, because the chapters are very short. And there's a point where his father sort of, you know, come back from the dead yet again and ordered a white suit off the internet because it's summer. And, you know, just, and everybody lies about what they put down the toilet.
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't got to that, but yes. Well, he does describe some of the accidents in the toilet, which obviously you have to get used to.
Yeah.
As what did he put it? A mixture of agriculture, protest and sort of you know, performance art.
He's such a smart writer. He really is.
He is. I'm longing to know who he is, but yeah, very good.
Lovely emails again. Oh yes, we had a bit of a chat last week about pedicures and your feet, and we had a great email from Leslie who said she once had a Shanghai pedicure. In Shanghai, and the guy doing it wore a head torch and shaved the hard skin off her heels with a blade. The pile of skin that flaked off looked like a model of Mount Fuji. Yeah. P.S. I voted for the podcast. There's a good reminder there. We are trying to get this podcast to win the People's Award at the National Podcast Awards. We'll put some reminders up somewhere because I can't remember what you do.
I think they call the British Podcast Awards, and it's the People's category or something.
Yeah, because we haven't been nominated for anything else. It's all wrong, isn't it, really? Okay, what else caught your eye on the emails, Judith?
Jill emailed to offer a magic cream solution to Chub Rub called 3B Neat Cream.
Yeah.
Which is tenner a tube.
Yeah.
So that's literally got, I mean, that's...
That's got our name all over it. In fact, why don't we just call them up, 3B Neat Cream, say, listen, there's a podcast that's got your name all over it if you want to pay us 30 grand a year. Well, come on.
Yes. Or they could pay us in cream, couldn't they? Do you know what I mean? We could distribute around the gang.
That really isn't what we want. We want hard cash. We want it tucked in tenners down our cleavages. Thank you very much indeed. And we'll take any loose change and we'll catch it in our pants. Okay, right, and we also want to send our love to Brian, who has just been diagnosed with a cancer, and he said we made him laugh waiting for the scan. So we're very privileged to do that.
We
so
are.
Thank you very
we
much.
We are. Good luck, Brian. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right then, Judith.
Yes. Okay.
Good
right.
luck well, with
good
the wedding
and good luck with the birth. What a week!
What a week! It might all coincide. It might sort of feed my crown on. You know, as Ellen's being walked down the aisle.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Well,
are you walking Ellen down the aisle, or are you and Mike on either side?
Yeah. No, I'm walking down with Aaron's mum first. So we go down arm in arm.
Yeah.
She's lovely as well.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I better go.
Have a really happy day, and give all my love to Ellen and Aaron. And
thank you.
Even though I'm allergic to weddings, I think the whole thing is utter nonsense, as
you're
absolutely
right.
know.
You're
but
right.
I do want them to have the most splendid day,
and really revel
in it. And I hope they're very, very happy indeed.
Oh, thank you. And all the luck to Phoebe and Tristram. Yeah. And will you let me know?
Of course I will. But do you want a 3 a.m.? What if it's, you know, what if you're trying to get some kip on Saturday night into Sunday morning?
I don't think
you'd really appreciate it if I did a 2:30 a.m. I don't think you would, Judith. It's any time after 5 o'clock, I'll give you a call, all right?
Exactly. Okay. I might even ring you back if that's the case. So anyway, good luck. And,
okay.
Okay, listen, well, toodle pip gang, and see you soon.
Absolutely, everybody. Lots and lots of love. Take care.
Bye.